שלום, אנחנו לומדים.
We are reading from the writings of the last generation, part one. You can get into our site, kab.tv. Send us your questions. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. So, introduction, the writings of the last generation, part one.
הבסיס לכל ביאורי.
The foundation for my explanation is the will to receive imprinted in every creature. This is the disparity of form from the Creator.
Thus, the soul has separated from him as an organ is separated from the body. Since disparity of form in spirituality is like a separating axe in corporeality, it is therefore clear that what the Creator wants from us is equivalence of form, at which time we cleave to him once more as before we were created. Our sages said, cleave unto his attributes as he is merciful, etc. It means that we are to change our attribute, which is the will to receive, and adopt the attribute of the Creator, which is the will to bestow, so that all our actions will be only to bestow upon our fellow persons and benefit them as best as we can. By that, we come to the goal of cleaving unto him, which is equivalence of form. What one is compelled to do for oneself, namely the necessary minimum for one's self and one's family sustenance, is not considered disparity of form, as necessity is neither condemned nor praised. This is the great revelation that will only be revealed entirely in the day of the Messiah. When this teaching is received, we will be rewarded with complete redemption. I have already said that there are two ways to discover the completeness, the path of Torah or the path of suffering. Hence, the Creator has given humanity technology until they have invented the atom and the hydrogen bombs. If the total ruin that they are destined to bring upon the world is still not evident to the world, they can wait for a third world war or a fourth one. God forbid, the bombs will do their thing, and the relics that remain after the ruin will have no other choice but to take upon themselves this work, where both individuals and nations will not work for themselves more than is necessary for their sustenance, while everything else they do will be for the good of others. If all the nations of the world agree to it, there will no longer be wars in the world, for no person will be concerned with his own good whatsoever, but only with the good of others.
This law of equivalence of form is the law of the Messiah. It is said about that, but in the end of days it shall come to pass, and many nations shall go and say, come and let us go up, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and he shall judge between many nations. That is, the Messiah will teach them the work of God in equivalence of form, which is the teaching and the law of the Messiah, and shall prove to mighty nations. Meaning he will prove to them that if they do not take upon themselves the work of God, all nations will be destroyed by war. However, if they do accept his law, it is said about it, and they shall beat their swords into shovels. If you take the path of Torah and receive the spies, very well. And if you do not, you will tread the path of suffering, meaning that wars will break out with atom and hydrogen bombs, and the entire world will seek counsel to escape the war. Then they shall come to the Messiah, to Jerusalem, and he will teach them this law.
Questions? None?
Isn't it too up straight into a person? He tells them that they need to study, reach adhesion with the Creator, and all that.
What would you write? Deficiencies appear in the will to receive, such that people are dying of hunger, killing one another with those bombs. Simply, what can you do? Total war of annihilation between everyone and everyone. The will to receive is running amok, because either it needs to fill itself with something that is good to it, or to destroy the other, because it appears to him the other is to blame for all the bad that he feels. There's no other way. And that's what we're advancing towards. The more the will to receive grows, the weapons, the wars, the problems will simply grow. And today, in truth, he's writing about those bombs, atom, hydrogen. It's yesterday. Today, it's enough for you to just switch off all the computers, the whole world. Everything shuts down. No light. There's nothing. Simply, nothing will work. It's beautiful. And each one is holding the other by the throat. Each one. Russians, the Americans, the Russians, the Chinese, who knows what's going on there, and so on. I mean, you don't even need those bombs. We'll starve without oxygen in hospitals, without water, we'll dry out, nothing would work. And the main thing, the WhatsApps will stop working. It's already worse than an atom bomb. I understand what are we standing before? We don't know how. We can imagine a world without it.
Ultimately, the purpose of the Creator, He does all that in order to be revealed.
To bend humanity so it would eat what it needs. Otherwise you can't bring those tiny, limited egoists to the good state.
But why this way? What's good about it? You're going to raise 6 billion people?
Well, I gave you so many opportunities. Even gave you a group called Israel. And gave that group a method. And this method must save all of humanity. And what's going on with the method, and what's going on with the group who's called Israel, the people of Israel, and what's with everyone? So how do you want it to be? Can you blame him? But in anything, I'm his defending lawyer.
I agree that he gave us everything. He's giving us, but at the same time, he placed everyone in a state of unconsciousness to what he gives. So
this unconscious state is not because of him, it's because we are inside our will to receive, and we don't want to take our heads out of this radish. Out of the radish.
Fine, but how can you put out your head from the radish if the radish is your whole life?
What are we talking about?
I'm talking about us and humanity.
Humanity is not guilty of anything. It suffers. You will suffer because you were given the opportunity to do it and you didn't do it. They gave you permission to correct the state and you did not. Not humanity.
Now there are 6 billion people whose life is in a big question mark, and now I have to correct it. How does it fit?
You need to arrange the upper force. So instead of one providence, it will send the other. And you can do that with a tiny switch. You can awaken the whole world.
But what do we change in the system? Everything we do, it seems that the world, at least what we can see with our own eyes, escalates, it becomes worse than before.
You understand that with one switch you can turn off all the electricity in the world?
Yes.
One switch. Meaning, there's a little box here that is between the Creator and humanity. And it is called Israel. This switch box will either work in a good way or a bad way. On that depends all, you know, the entire fate of everything.
When we're talking about Israel, you mean us?
Israel, meaning everyone in the world who has a point in the heart that awakens him to connect and to reach a cry to the Creator.
Till now, we're not working properly, because before in the lesson you said that specifically now, if you look at the whole world clearly, there is a big, good force advancing.
For the time being, yes, we're advancing, but towards our general mission, our global mission, we're not ready to carry it out. We still can't turn to the Creator from the within the connection between us, and to obligate him, as my sons have defeated me, to obligate him to change the providence from seemingly bad to seemingly good.
So why, when we look at the world, despite of everything we do, you see that things become harder and harder from day to day?
It's a result from our lack, our inactivity, inaction. We're unable to turn providence to good.
And what is a good providence?
If they will receive a tiny bit of light, they'll understand where and what from, where from and why, and they'll have a tendency to connect, because everyone has a spark. Everyone is a part of the broken Adam HaRishon, and in everyone there is such a spark, but this spark, it doesn't feel that the light is working on it. Therefore, we have to awaken the light to be greater, and only Israel can do it. And then all the sparks in all the people will wake up and want to be connected and to be in one bundle. Ultimately, eventually, they will also enter this concept called Yashar Kel.
So when the light illuminates more, the way it is revealed, isn't it always negatively towards the created beings?
No, the reforming light, it awakens a deficiency for the Creator, for connection, for bestowal. Depends on whom and on the people that awaken and the spark. Even in the spark, there are 4 degrees, still vegetative, animate, and speaking. We belong to the speaking degree. Therefore, with us, those are problems, those are hesitation, yes, no. It's hard for us to do it. But for the other people of the world, it'll be much easier. It'll be like as angels. We turn on the surrounding light, and according to the surrounding light, they carry out the acts of bestowal, of connection, of love. They will not have these inner struggles. There will not be a collision between Bina and Malchut. This is all happening within us. That's why everything depends on us. And that's why the world will hate us more and more, in a dreadful way. They still act as if they treat us nicely, democratically, liberally. No, it will stop being that. The attitude towards us will be like in Nazi Germany. That's how it is all over the world.
So what will be the response in the world if we will cause that light to illuminate upon everyone?
Whatever reaction you will bring about.
What does it mean?
that just like that, because you will make it happen. You will elicit it. Even now, the nations of the world are saying that you're running the world, so run it.
But what does it mean to run the world?
To bring more light than exists right now. Running the world, managing the world, is through the light. The light awakens everyone, still vegetative, animate, and human degrees, towards their evolution. The more light there is, from the Rishimo, then the Rishimo develop in the way that's called Achishena. It's a good way. It's good in the eyes of the Creator, and it's good for mankind. But if the light is insufficient, if it doesn't shine with its full intensity on the states that are in which the Rishimo are, then it's felt as bad all the way to war. As he writes, I really hope that we will not come to a total global war. I think it will materialize in a different way, but it will be not less bad. Not less. Imagine that you have no supplies, no gas, no fuel, no imports of food, no water from the faucet. It's something that today, in the way that we live,
this is the same description of the path of suffering if we won't do our work. But what is the description of the way of the path of hastening?
Derech HaChishena, the path of hastening, acceleration, is when they begin to feel that there's a method that can save them from death, and it's called the wisdom of Kabbalah. And they can come to our website. And if not our website, we can reach them and provide them this information in other ways. The archive is preparing it for us, I'm hoping, as much as I'm writing on them hard. And we'll be able to advertise and publicize this method in various forms and to bring them, to bring these principles to the world, and they'll be ready to listen, to drink it, and to recognize it and to realize it.
They will also have to reach a kind of inner crisis in order to...
No, they're already in a state of crisis, and they're ready for anything. They're ready to follow you like a flock of sheep after the shepherd.
But if you look at them, they don't seem to be in a crisis. There's a World Cup and...
Oh, well, it's always like that. It's nice.
So where is the crisis?
It's best if it never comes, and instead we will just make a leap. A leap across the way from the current state to the spiritual state. Because if not, it's waiting for us soon. Economic crisis, a human crisis, crisis.
No lechiva.
Toda. Boker tov, Rav, chaverim.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends. I'm studying for almost 10 years. When I came here, I had a greater concern and thought of the world more than I have today. What does it mean?
It's called recognition of evil. You understand how much you don't care about anyone.
So how can I think to some extent about myself, about my friends, as someone who's supposed to lead the world?
There are two ways, as we learn everywhere. Either great suffering will come, great torments, and you will feel that you depend on the world. Great torments, and you feel that you depend on your society, that without it, truly better off dead, that kind of suffering. Or you will invite the reforming light through this forceful work with effort, not like this comfortable way whenever you feel like it, but with additional effort. And then the reforming light will bring you something that you don't deserve, but instead you try hard, you exert, and that's why you deserve it. And in this way you will bring yourself and all of reality closer to correction. Otherwise you'll tell me the same thing in 10 years. I'm studying with you for 20 years, and I used to care about the world, I used to care about the friends. After 10 years, I stopped caring about the world, and after 20 years, I stopped caring about the friends. But for myself, I still care about myself.
So what does it mean? What is that thing that I have to be afraid of so that I won't be in such a state in 10 years that I'm not concerned about the friends? How do I not reach another 10 years sitting here, hearing you, and actually hearing nothing?
Do you know how to read Hebrew?
A little bit.
So read. I have nothing to say. Only the group in its connection can care about each and every friend, so he would receive a softening of the heart. A softening of the heart is what we need. So he would feel he is broken from his shattered state when the heart breaks open. You see a point in the heart, the point in the heart that is burning. Otherwise we don't feel it. Okay.
What does it mean that there's another option of the meaning the middle path? What does it mean?
The way of the land, or the middle path, means that without studying, without great wisdoms, we simply lower our heads and we begin to connect amongst ourselves out of necessity, it's no choice, in a good, soft way, with a simple heart. I don't think it's so... I don't think it's practical in our time, but it can be relevant only when it's accompanied by great suffering. You know, that was the kind of a popular way, as it used to be in the past. People were willing to connect, to lower themselves a little bit, be simple, as long as they can attain something in life. We have to understand that. Ultimately, you know how people used to live about 100 years ago, let's say? They didn't have that much water or food or clothing. We're talking about 100 years ago. And look at what's going on today. Everything, we throw everything out. So back then, you had people who, you know, Rabash used to say, if back then people, you would go to those people and you tell them, let's go and come, we're going to attain godliness, everyone would agree. What else is there in life? And in this life. Today, this excess in everything, it blocks our eyes, it blinds us. We built ourselves for ourselves such a life that we're constantly busy. Back then, a person was relatively, had much more time. People had more time for themselves. Let's continue.
Before I touch upon this matter, I will present a short introduction concerning human attributes and say that people are divided into two kinds, egoists and altruists. Egoists means that all that they do is for themselves. And if they ever do something for another, they must have a well-paying reward in return for their work, in money, respect, etc. Altruist means that they sacrifice all their days for the well-being of others without any reward. Instead, they always neglect their own needs to help others. Moreover, among them there are such who give their souls and their lives to the benefit of others, such as those we find among volunteers who go out to war for the country folk. We have also found more general altruists, meaning those who give their hearts and souls to help the backward of all the nations of the world, such as communists, who fight for the benefit of oppressed among all the nations of the world. They are willing to pay for it with their very life. Egoism is embedded in the nature of every person, as in any animal. Altruism, however, is against human nature. Yet, a chosen few are imparted this nature. I call them idealists. Yet, the majority of any society or state is made of simple flesh and blood folk, meaning egoists. Only a few, 10% at most, are the exceptional altruists. Now, I shall come to the point. For the above reason, that altruists are so few in every society. The first communists, before Karl Marx's time, were unsuccessful in acting towards spreading communism in the world. As in the saying, one bird doesn't make a summer. In addition, some of them even established communal settlements, like the kibbutzim in our country, but they failed, because they could not endure. This happened because all the members of the communal society must be altruistic idealists, as the founders themselves. Since 90% of any society, even the most developed, are egoists, they could not keep up with the conduct of a cooperative society which is purely altruistic by nature. This continued until the time of Karl Marx, when every successful plan for the expansion of communism was devised, namely to incorporate the oppressed themselves in the work of communism, so that they would fight alongside them against the capitalistic bourgeois government, since the oppressed are interested in this war only for their own good, meaning for egoistic reasons, they immediately accepted the plan, and thus communism spread out among all the levels of the backward and the oppressed.
We are today in a state where it doesn't exist anymore, neither idealists nor communists or anything. We're left with liberals who are becoming fascists. So let's jump forward to page 818.
Where exactly?
Maybe second column, hence, accordingly. Okay, first column.
Now go and think in the coin of our country. Let's say the reward of some ordinary worker is $100 a month, and the laws will receive $1,000 a month, meaning 10 times more. It turns out that in a year he will accumulate $12,000.
No, we've already gone through that, Tzvika. Don't confuse us.
I already cried out. I already cry out already in the year 1933 in my book The Peace Contrast, and I warned that wars endanger the life of the whole world, and there is no advice to prevent it unless by all nations accept the communist regime, the perfect one, meaning the altruist regime. Needless to say that today, after using the atom wars and hydrogen bombs, probably it is not in doubt anymore that after one or two or three wars, the entire humanity will be destroyed without leaving a trace. And the modern communists, the egoistic one, cannot guarantee peace in the world, because even if the nations of the world will accept this communist regime, there will be no reason for the rich nations with raw materials and civilization will share it with poor countries equally. For example,
the nations in America will not want to equalize their standard of living with the Asian or African nations, or even with the European nations. And a single nation might have the power to equalize the standard of living with the rich and middle class, the owners of the productive means, with the proletariat, by inciting the poor masses, the majority of society, to destroy the rich and middle class and take their property. However, this council will not be of any use in compelling a wealthy nation to share its property and means of production with a poor nation, as the rich nation has already prepared arms and bombs to safeguard itself from its poor neighbors. Thus, what good did the communistic regime do in the world? It leaves intact the state of envy among the nations, just as in the capitalistic regime, without any relief. A just division within each nation for itself will not assist to just division among the nations whatsoever. Hence, while basic sustenance is under such immediate risk, it is a waste of time to improve the economic government. They would be better off using that time seeking counsel to save the very life of all humankind.
You see that the whole problem with today's communistic regime is the lack of adequate reward, which is the fuel for the productive force of the workers. Hence, it is impossible to employ them successfully except with the fuel of reward and punishment. Hence, we need inspectors, supervisors, and managers to take upon themselves this hard work of supervising the workers and ruthlessly suck their blood and sweat, making their lives endlessly bitter with hardship and enslavement. In return for this hard work, they must also be given adequate reward, which is no less than to make them millionaires. For they will not want to live the life of hangmen of their own free will for any less than that, as we see in the Soviet country.
Even that, we understand, we've gone through this.
840.
We see that it's...
Building the world from rebuilding the world. See personal opinion and public opinion and the contradiction between democracy and socialism. It has been clarified there that until now, public opinion evolved and was built according to the powerful ones in society, meaning the assertive. It is only recently that the masses have evolved through religion, through schools and revolutions, and have perceived the method of democracy and socialism. However, according to the natural law that a wild ass colt is born a man, and man is an upshot of a wild animal and a monkey, it is according to Darwin's method or that of our sages, After the sin, the human species decline into monkeys, for all before Eve are as monkey before the man. However, according to man's merit, who consists in intellectual preparation, he continued to develop through deeds and suffering and assuming religion, politics, and justice, and finally became civilized. In this entire development was played solely on the shoulders of the better part of society, and the masses followed them like a herd. When the masses opened their eyes to take their own faith into their hands, they had to revoke all the corrections and laws of the assertive, being religion, justice, and politics. This is because these were only according to the spirit of the assertive, according to their development and for their own good. Thus, they had to build the world anew. In other words, they are like prehistoric people, the Darwinian ape, because they are not these ones who experienced these experiences which brought them their measure of development. And until today, the succession of development was solely on the shoulders of the assertive, not on the masses who until now were virgin soil. Thus, the world is now in a state of total ruin. It is very primitive in the political sense, as in the age of the cavemen. They have not been through the experiences and actions that brought the assertive to take upon themselves religion, manners, and justice. Hence, if we let the world develop naturally, today's world must undergo all the ruin and torments that the primitive men experienced, until they are compelled to assume permanent and beneficial political justice. The first fruit of the ruin came upon us in the form of Nazism, which is ultimately merely a direct offshoot of democracy and socialism, meaning of the leadership of the majority once the restraints of religion, manners, and justice have been removed.
This is exactly what we're facing today.
Nazism is not an offshoot of Germany. It turns out that the world erroneously considers Nazism a particular offshoot of Germany. In truth, it is the offshoot of a democracy and socialism that were left without religion, manners, and justice. Thus, all the nations are equal in that. There is no hope at all that Nazism will perish with the victory of the Allies, for tomorrow the Anglo-Saxons will adapt Nazism, since they too live in a world of democracy and Nazism. Remember that Democrats too must renounce religion, manners, and justice, just like the Marxists, because all these are loyal servants of only the assertive in the public. They always place obstacles before the Democrats or, the better part, majority of the public. It is true that thinkers among the Democrats keep a watchful eye that religion and manners are not destroyed at once, for they know that the world will be ruined. However, to that extent, they also interfere with the government of the majority. Once the majority grows smart and understands them, It'll certainly elect other leaders such as Hitler. Since he is the genuine representative of the majority of the public, be it Germany, Anglo-Saxons, or Polish.
Okay.
Which part?
The One Council. Unlike the Democrats who wish to cancel religion and manners gradually and adapt a new politics in a manner that will not ruin the world, the masses will not wait for them at all. Rather, as our sages say, do not ruin a synagogue before you can build a new one in its place. In other words, we are forbidden to let the powerful ones take hold of the leadership before we build religion, conducts, and politics suitable for them, because in the meantime the world will be ruined and there will be no one to whom to speak.
Meaning we have to hurry up with dissemination. That's it. Okay? No, no. What a stuff.
I want to ask about the way our explanation. Previously you explained, and you also wrote on Twitter, that you see Trump and the way he's acting in the world, you see him as a representative of some turning point.
Yeah, of course, the hearts of ministers is in the hands of the Creator. What, you think he himself did something?
So, Bala Sulam, he talked on a very high level. Can you bring it a bit down to what's going on today and to describe the new concept that the world has to become accustomed to? What's the turning point?
We don't have anything else to do because this liberal form that we thought is so democracy and equality, that it started from the middle of the past century, previous century, that all these things have developed, but as usual, because it develops upon our ego, it can develop in a nice way. As usual, our ego takes it to a direction that we have nothing to do. As he writes, we're standing before the Nazi regimes, the fascism that will be in Europe, unless it doesn't turn around in a different direction. We understand it's either to the correction of man or to all those liberal regimes will become fascist. We see how close it is to the way they behave. It doesn't matter. They don't care about anything except for control. And the control, naturally, it doesn't even depend on them. That will bring them to such a degree. We've passed the flourishing of democracy, supposedly, and the result, as Bala Sulam writes, the result of democracy will be fascism. What do we have to do? Just disseminate our Torah. There's nothing else we can do. And we have to hope that by on one hand, that they will fall and fail, but still, they still hold on and keep arming themselves with weapons, so that an air dissemination will at some point meet, and we can show that there's no other alternative for the development of the world. Either it goes into mass destruction, doesn't matter in what way, as we said, computers or through bombs or both together, everything's prepared. Or either direction,
So, the or there is that liberals will control the world and make it one big camp, one big destruction camp.
What's the other side?
The other side, that the world will take the method of unity, that there's no other way, and everybody will learn, as he writes, study, what to do in order to live in a way that they attain this world and the next.
The form that we have to reach is a communal one, but that's based on the correction of man.
What other way can it be? We see how all the
communal life,
all the communal life is ends. It's always in destruction. Also of a country, and doesn't matter which country, that tried to be in some kind of commune. Also the kibbutzim, everything. Man's ego is what you have to correct, and then build above it whatever you want, but in according to the correction.
So if the correction has to precede every stage in the change of formation of society, then what kind of form will the crisis take?
Recognition of evil. That's what we have to understand. It's by a person that suffers a bit, and also they explain what he's suffering from, like with the disease. A person has to understand he's sick, feel that he's sick, and then the doctor can come and say, you're feeling bad because of this and that. And then he has a way to correct it. Yeah?
What's the very first layer that that we have to offer to humanity, because they won't take the entire wisdom of Kabbalah?
They don't need it. They just want to know how to get to a good life. They don't need the next world. They don't need the Creator. They don't need this revelation. There's no deficiency for it. There's no point in the heart. That's why we're not even talking about it. We're just saying how to save ourselves from mass destruction and how to bring ourselves to a good, secure life. That's it. The masses don't need this. What are the masses? Except for us, the whole world. The rest don't need this. There are other more circles that are searching for spirituality, but that's a few more million. So
what are we offering exactly now? The very first stage, not the entire method. Something they can grasp.
What?
What is the very first layer that we're offering humanity?
As Bala Sulam writes here, we just have to rewrite it in a better way, maybe make a few more conversations about it, and write in all kinds of ways. Write a lot of material that people can understand what they have before them, and they'll see it very shortly, the way it takes place. Also in Europe, and between Europe and America, and Russia and China, all those games that are going to happen, and the whole world's going to start suffering. How suddenly they shut off your tap on something and you choke right away, because today you can't otherwise. And that's it. When you go into a supermarket and see everything's empty, so it'll work. It'll work. Especially on Jews in the state of Israel, that we are completely dependent on supplies from the whole world. What do we have on our own? We think we have something on our own. Nothing. You blow up a power plant, we're done.
So, especially, it's about raising the awareness that we're facing great danger and that we have a solution, without even getting into the depth of things, to offer a solution.
But what are you offering? That nothing is lacking in humanity except for good relationships between humans. And those good relationships can be organized only by us starting to connect, even if we don't want to. Meaning it's a must on each and every one that it's concerned about the future. Meaning from today till today, from today to the next moment, that if you're concerned about such a very near future, not for your grandchildren, So you must today, now, start studying how you can bring people closer together. That's it. By the way, there are a lot of methods. I'm not striking them out that teach how to be closer. There are. That soften up the hearts. There are. And them too, you can activate them.
Why don't you rule them out?
Because for the masses, many methods can work. You're not taking them into spirituality, but for now, to bring them closer, closer to one another, so they don't harm each other, to teach them how to listen to one another, how to connect, how to not harm, especially, and support and help. So, as it's written, there are a lot of places to the goal. Our method is very precise. It's not for everybody. And we need to find many words and ways to pass this to people. To explain this short thing here, where it comes from, where the bad comes from, where how you take care of it, we can do that in 10 minutes. But what next? To organize them in tens, also you can do that. To teach them a bit how to get closer, yes. But these things are very simple to the masses. We don't penetrate here to the shattering of the evil inclination.
This is exactly the question. What do we have to offer besides telling in general that there's a good force, bad force connection?
Tens. And in tens, they can start learning how to connect, how to relate to each other. And then, only with the light that reforms, more than that, we can't disseminate. Just connecting in tens, that by this we soften the relationships between people. We mitigate them.
And this will eradicate Nazism?
Yes.
So, the closest thing is educating the masses toward connection.
Yes.
The purpose of which, this education, its purpose is not to plunge into an even deeper crisis.
You can't tell the masses more than this. You have nothing to give them. They can't absorb anymore. But gradually, by all these actions, because it's overcoming in quality and not in quantity, they'll start getting such a light that reforms that they can start understanding there's something a bit extra here. That if our ego is disturbing us and all of humanity, and by this we're shutting ourselves in this ego, how can we break through this bitter radish?
Meaning the education for the masses, because it's in the masses, and it only starts from us, even if later on we convey it through masses. The light works.
Of course it'll work. It works because we are preparing it. There's no society that is so open to everybody, just spreading out the material. Once it, we're just lacking a branch that takes care of the masses. We're only dealing with people with points in the heart, and that's our problem. We also have to take care of the masses. And for this, maybe we need different people, and not you. I don't know. But going out to the masses, broad, convenient, correct, that's lacking. I'm also not. I can't do it.
Treating the masses, it's not something that we're supposed to do?
We need it, but friends of ours that can do it. That can speak not through the point of the heart, but in a way that more to the masses.
The truth is that we already did this dissemination many years ago when there was the big protest in Tel Aviv. We gave circles on Rothschild Street, and when we started doing it, no one knew what that is. And we started and we did for many years, and today, this thing called circles, and every organization, wherever you go, they're doing connection circles, vice versa. We started a certain process, we worked really hard at it, and instead of taking it to the next level, we left it. And today, everyone are experts in circles, and where you're talking about education for the masses and tens, when you come to offer it, they say, look, we're doing it already. Meaning we instilled it without even feeling it. In many societies and organizations, this thing called circles. If we'll know how to take what we have instilled in the past and to take it to the next level, maybe we will be able to do something.
I guess I don't really belong to this anymore. Too many years and too much inside. I don't know. It has to be a new approach, a new head. I don't know. Try. I don't know.
It's just that we have many friends in our groups that want to do many things. Right now, this isn't the direction. Our groups do not meet the masses. In the best case scenario, they're doing something on the net. We completely disconnected from the public. We're not connected with them. And the new friends that are coming, you know, they're locked in, and we stopped going out to the public. It's more internal now and less outwards.
There's no choice. We had to come more inner, working inside in the tents. We had to feel ourselves pull a bit light into ourselves, see how we advance. How we, what Rabash wrote for us in Bala Sulam, to see a bit more between the words, between the lines, what's happening there, what they meant. We needed to acquire this inner feeling of what's happening in these texts, what desire, what deeds, what they meant. It can't just work. If you work with people on the street, you understand how much they don't understand you. So we needed, there's a difference between internality and externality. We needed to go inside, and when you go deeper inside, you let go of the other side. You can't do it together. Now I think the world is starting to get into such states that it'll obligate us to start going out and being concerned of the world. And this convention that we're about to go through, it will give us a bit more of an exit. And afterwards, we will need to be concerned more and more how to go out to the nation, and especially the people of Israel. Now, in what way, popular way, I don't know, dancing on the in the circles there, I don't know, but we'll have to think about it. Life will push us into that. Yep.
First of all, it's really interesting because in the surveys that we do, even though that we've gathered more inwards, there are more people that know us, not from the internet, not from our articles. They simply know more about us. There's a more positive opinion. In this past year, when we became more introverted, as if it's very interesting. The other thing is, Well, will we get the understanding from how to go out again in this new form? There has to be something new. I agree with what Meir says. Where will we get the mind from, the feeling? What's the right thing to come out with this new thing that we didn't use to this day?
If you ask me, I don't know, especially that if you're going to start researching all the nations of the world compared to Israel, this is the happiest nation that's not lacking anything, that there was never something so beautiful and nice like now, and they don't need anything. Don't disturb us from enjoying our life. That's what the people feel. And in such a way, obviously, if you go out, you're just making damage to the dissemination of Kabbalah. That's why, I don't know, I just feel that how can we and when to bring the remedy before the blow? For now, I don't know. But we have to do it, because this nation won't feel bad until it'll get to such a state that there'll be nowhere to run to, like we were 70 or 80 years ago, in such a state. I don't know. If you ask me, I don't know. Also, we were talking to Rabash about it. I didn't feel that he had a solution to go out with. But what Bala Sulam writes, yeah.
And if all of us think together now, the entire world, Kli, will want for the solution to come.
That, yeah. Prayer, yeah. But in a practical way to go out to the nation, I don't know. We have to explain what we've talked about today. We have to wrap it in all kinds of short articles. Where's the whole world? What's up, Facebook? Not in the big newspapers, right?
Instagram.
Okay, so just bombard them with, well, not bombard, but to keep filling the places with air material, and gradually they'll know about it, that there's a method, except for the world advancing in their way and bumping into the wall, of what happens next. Because we truly don't see any solution, and there won't be a solution. It's interesting. As much as what Bala Sulam wrote about will quickly take place in practice. Vina.
Good morning all to all of our friends. Good morning, World Kli. Yesterday, we talked with Alex Shteto. We'd like to once again ignite the spirit of the Congress toward the connection marathon coming up this Sunday. We talked with all of the groups, and we feel that there is like this fog that fell on all of us after the very successful marathon that we had 2 weeks ago. We'd like to get up and awaken all of the groups together. So let's prepare ourselves for the upcoming marathon this Sunday that has to be stronger than the one 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago. The Vienna group is going to meet the Graz group and Christian and all the friends there. We're going to get together 30 friends. We'll have like a mini congress as a preparation for the Italian congress. We're asking friends from all over the world, North America, South America, China, Japan, Russia, everyone. Let's participate and even more on this upcoming Unity Marathon. We want to feel you once again. Let's resist the burdening, the heaviness. The Creator, He wants to bring us closer. He brings us more hardships. Let's do it together. Friends, don't wait for anyone to call you. You call everyone. Everyone has to awaken the group, and every group has to awaken all other groups, not to wait for anyone else to do something. Nothing will happen. Each of us has to feel that He, and only He is responsible for the entire world. Kli, and this is the only thing that it'll work. And therefore, we resist this situation, and we want to be in favor of doing everything that we can do together. We'll succeed in it together. Register for the Italian Congress. We want to get even more people there for it to be like an attack, a positive kind of explosion. And as the Vienna group, as the Austrian group, as the European group, as the world group, together with you, we'd like to participate. We have a schedule where it says when every group will, the slot for each and every group on Sunday. From what I saw, there are still many all open slots. Today you have maybe one group per half an hour slot. Last time we had four groups per slot. So let's register.
Okay, and let's go to Peter. Peter.
Friends, today with us were friends from Zichron Yaakov, Petach Tikva, the guys with the white shirts from Köln Düsseldorf, Germany, the virtual 10, number 3 in Germany, Peter, 10 number 1, and the daily task for today. In the 10, we're reaching awe through feeling responsibility for the entire world, and we express what we feel in our diaries.
Rehovot.
Good morning, Rav. Good morning to all the parts of my soul. We have gathered here several groups, and there's already a feeling of a congress going on here. With us here are Be'er Sheva, Ashkelon, and the young group from Petach Tikva, and of course Giuseppe from Italy. And our question is, how will we instill in the friends a feeling that the Congress in Italy is crucial to save the world, or in other words, to save our WhatsApp?
Okay, we'll think about it together. Very good. And we need to see why we chose this material of the last generation, because Europe is really in the center. It awakens us to think of the last generation of today and tomorrow, or today and tomorrow, that it'll be as a springboard for our spiritual advancement and the whole world. Let's use it in the most beneficial way possible. And we have an opportunity that for the first time in history, this is the period, it's very special, and let's hope that it'll be successful.
Last week, we had a very special tish, very quiet, internal. We even ended with gratitude. Oh, what should our intention be today?
I think it should be the same thing. Quiet, inner connection, all the hearts together. I don't think that the friends that are with us in a distance are also expecting some outburst from it. It's inner feeling. We'll search, we'll feel everybody, each one in his own heart that wants to prepare all the other hearts. Short, even a half an hour, just so it be connected and concentrated. And this?
Thank you very much for being with us. We'd like to invite you for the upcoming introductory lectures that will take place all around Israel during the month of July. For further details, contact us. All as one, the World Kabbalah Congress in Italy from the 27th to the 29th of July. For further details, eurocongress.info.